sharpen your swords, embrace your boarding pikes for another buckled swashes and leg booted episode of Dead Men Roll No Crits. This is your captivating captain, GM Patrick, here, and joining me in deck swabbing and backstabbing are your four players, my friends, Jabert, Rebecca, Seth, and Tyler.
Hello.
Hey, Cadence was way off on that intro.
I was going to say, you sounded a little bit confused to say my name. I was like,
well, yeah, I'm here too. Also, like, Rebecca? Rebecca?
Maybe. I don't know.
What's this person doing Rebecca here? Is Rebecca in the building with us right now?
This person appears to be a real sport, a real into sports. So I don't know if this is a real Rebecca.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Body snatched Rebecca is into sports now.
Yeah.
I don't want anything competing with my attention in several online games. I also take it personally when you guys make friends that are not me.
I would really prefer for all of you to just make friends with me again. You know, like,
double down on the friendship.
We role play that we're just meeting for the first time, and it's very exhilarating.
It's the first time every time.
It's Roll 20. Nice to meet you.
Dungeons and Dragons? What's that mean?
Spaceships and space dragons. That's what we do on Cosmic Crit. This is Pirates and Pyra Dragons.
Yo, a pirate dragon?
Pirates and one-eyed dragons. That's
honestly, so pirate dragon would be so cool.
Yard.
Just instead of a hook hand, it's got like an anchor as a hand. I'm googling this.
That'd be so red.
I
remember back in the day, Dungeons and Dragons, Wizards of the Coast. They had a thing where they had a monster tournament where they came up with like it was like 14 different monsters or something like that, and like every week they had a vote off, and one of the monsters was a swashbuckler beholder. Oh, and it had it had an eye patch on its big eye.
I googled pirate dragon, and whoa, buddy, there's some great stuff here.
I'm telling you, I think the anchor as a hook hand is
gold. That's truly gold.
I'm patting myself on the back, and I'm breaking my wrist doing other things.
Maybe avoid any links that take you to Fur Affinity, unless you're ready to go down a rabbit hole. Possibly, literally.
There's a great gunslinger dragon here who's just like holding a cannon. It's great. It's so good.
Do you guys have any clue where we last left off playing Pathfinder? We've had a long Starfinder
turn by turn recap that nonsense.
Yeah, I know. No, really? No one else in this call remembers the Shrouded Queen, but I certainly remember it.
It's written.
That sounds like a Destiny 2 raid boss.
Oh, for sure. Actually, yes, you're right. That is very true.
Yeah, the reliquary of the Shrouded Queen. Guardians, you must take down the queen.
No, we solved a statue puzzle. We came into a room. We found a body. It had like a diary on it or some nonsense. There was a hatch with chains. Sharga just ripped the chains off the floor because she's a mammoth of a human being. I jumped down to hold to look cool, but that also meant that I landed first.
Sharga's a mammoth of an orcish being. Thank you.
Horrific queen emerges, is what I wrote down.
Yeah, but everybody else was still up at the top.
I don't know what I wrote after that. I don't know.
Odengar?
Oh, hang on, guys. Pause. Now I have a picture of an orc who wears like a mantle that's like a bunch of shark's teeth, and he's riding on like a parrot, on like a giant parrot. It's so good.
That's pretty good.
Why are we pausing? And, that's cool.
Well, whatever it was called, it was a fiendish clip-off. So. I knew it was a fiendish clip-off. Are we still facing said fiendish clip-off?
No, no. So I dropped down. I got attacked, almost murdered. Y'all dropped down. We ended up attacking it. We got it into a corner, killed it, and we won.
Great.
We leveled up.
Cool. Level 14.
We talked about level ups beforehand. Do you think if we would have leveled up without killing the final thing? Patrick, you should do that one day. You should actually have us level up in the middle of a boss fight. that would actually be pretty rad.
I think I've played around with the idea of doing that at some point. It just seems like a great way to slow down an already slow combat system. Is like, let's take half hour and you have some new abilities in the middle. If it's like, you know, broken up into like a couple of episodes, that's like a little different. But yeah, you guys have taken out the Shrouded Queen of the Black Tower, and I think most of you are kind of bleeding out at the where we left off at the end of last week's episode. But you can begin the healing rituals, the rolls for medicine checks, and also begin to look around this room as you rest up here, as indeed it does look like a wizard's laboratory, a wizard's library, but the fragments of spell books and scrolls are kind of torn and burnt and strewn about this room. Too damaged to be of any use. Just about anything in this room, books and what have you, are destroyed. This 2-foot deep pool in the room center where she emerged also has really the only thing that looks to be of high value here, and that is a magical sword, a runic sword, stuck in, kind of in the middle, maybe a little offset, kind of 10 o'clock wise, middle of this pool. And you can tell this is actually buried in the stone beneath the pool. So you're just seeing like the hilt and a little bit of the blade.
It's the sword in the stone.
Yeah,
who was the chosen one?
I'll try it first because I know I won't be able to pull it out. No, I'm not the chosen one.
God, so funny.
So I'll build the suspense by not being able to pull
Ching.
It out.
You're really funny if you did roll.
Oh, do I didn't roll for it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. I forgot this is a game where you roll for stuff.
Yeah, it's part the luck that comes into this, and the D20 roll is the god's hand. You know, whether they favor your character or not, and
so I think the name of the god, like,
destiny.
I think in the name Pathfinder, of the god, sorry, go ahead, Seth.
Is Havariance. Havariance roleplay.
Oh. Yeah. H apostrophe variance. In the Pathfinder 1E book, this was just a straight strength check, strength roll. So, I mean, you could roll that. You can roll.
But athletics. That's not very inclusive.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to modify the DC depending on which you roll. So
I'll roll strength. Yeah, I've got a 3 in strength, so
yeah.
I'm a strong lad.
Oh yeah,
yeah. And I'm a strong lad, and I'm giving it a pretty good shot.
18.
I was prepared to say, but I'm quite sleepy. But here we are, 18.
It does indeed seem to be maybe magically stuck in here because it doesn't budge an inch.
I'm not strong enough. Oh, my goodness. And you see all my muscles rippling and glistening with the water from the pool, but I'm not strong enough. And I point at, I don't know, Osric. I say, Osric, you should try next. Maybe you are the chosen one with the chosen blade.
You're a fool.
20s happen.
Lord Havariance.
What does that even mean? That's going to be a thing now, Lord Havariance.
Havarian smiles upon ye.
No,
Mara's brother. Yeah,
let me examine this thing. Can I perhaps apply the use of occultism?
He's gonna see the little switch underneath. He just flipped the switch.
Work smarter, not harder.
That's the chosen one.
Especially when you're a small kobold.
A weak.
The runes, the magical runes that alight this blade as you kind of see it shimmer in the light rippling off the pool's water, are indeed in the ancient script of the Norgorb rites that you've seen scrawled in other parts of this tower. I don't know if it'd be something you can understand or decipher. That might be.
Is this something that I
check?
Is this a legend I'm aware of? Is there some sort of information that I have stored away in that cluttered brain?
I think we talked about this in a past episode. In the Aegir's Kiss, indeed, was the magical blade of Captain Ager, Captain that set about this tower to kill the wizard or whoever lived here. What was her first name?
Were you on a first name basis?
Somewhere in the notes. Tevanita Ager, indeed, was the captain, and she was a known Norgorberite. Practiced the religion.
Okay.
I don't know what else you had previously when you rolled, but this is definitely a high, powerful magical artifact. So, indeed, there could be some kind of trigger to get this thing to release or undo whatever magic it was doing.
I can't figure that out with a 34.
No.
Okay.
Do you want to try to pull it out?
No.
Do you? Okay. Does anybody else want to try to pull it out? This is going to be a short episode if you guys leave here without the sword.
Sharga feels like this should be very easy and will step up to the sword and pull it out of the stone. No big deal. Why is everyone hesitating?
That kind of confidence, blind confidence, has done you and many of your characters well in the past 6 years we've been playing together. So yeah, go right ahead.
Just straight strength, right?
Straight strength, or you can do a athletics check and I'll modify the DC appropriately.
I feel like this is tantamount to trying to like pick up Thor's hammer when you're not Thor.
Wait, what's the difference between a strength check and an athletics check?
Athletics check.
Do you have a preference? I can roll either.
It's a lot easier for the strength.
Okay.
Tyler, is it like trying to pick up Mjolnir when you're not Thor? Or is it like trying to pick up Stormbreak after you've sacrificed multiple planets while trying to kill Galactus?
The latter. Stormbreak.
It's a thing. We'll talk about it later.
Okay. Oh, no.
Oh, that's not good.
As bad as Candoso did, Sharga's confidence seemed to hurt her even more. How it could move less than zero, it did. It goes further into the stone, actually. Embeds itself further in. Captain Cassius, you want to give her a try?
It wraps itself in a blanket.
Sure. Why not? What do you want from what would you like from me?
Oh my god, just roll a d20.
You're okay, I can do that.
Oh my god, Tyler.
Rolled the worst of all. Can I use my hero point?
Yeah. What did you roll? The 12? Yeah.
I rolled a 12. Now I'll just roll a d20. I don't want it to be assigned.
I don't want it to be labeled.
Rolled a 16.
Okay, that's pretty good. It's pretty good. Your strength bonus is not great, but that is still technically the highest that you've rolled here. Yeah, no, I don't think that's going to do it.
I didn't think so.
I had a number in mind, and I don't think anyone's hit it here yet. So most all
very,
of them...
That's a very low percentage.
Give a handle to try and pull this thing out, and I mean, it feels like it is part of the tower itself.
I think seeing this, Oz is going to roll his eyes, and he'll give it a shot, but... He's not necessarily confident. He's going to use athletics because his strength is not amazing. Again.
They're 34 for you.
You rolled a 16 on the dice.
Got all your 34s. Yeah, I mean, it does not. It is somewhat magically affixed. You are certain about it after giving it a try here. And you think there has to be some kind of trigger or something that you guys are missing here in perhaps who is able to wield this at all. Like, even if you got it out of the rock, you know, it might be one of those things where it weighs like 300 pounds unless you say open sesame or Bob's your uncle, the magic phrase or whatever.
If I remember correctly, you have to spill the blood of an innocent. I'm joking.
Does
I don't think you have any of those here.
No, absolutely not.
And Sharga,
you,
maybe.
So there are Nurgrobite or whatever runes on the thing?
Yes, the runes are in a script that is used by Nurgrobite cultists.
Would the spell Tongues help me understand that script?
No.
What's Tongues do? You can talk to things, right?
The target can understand all words regardless of language, but I think Comprehend Languages deals with writing.
Correct.
Which is a lower level spell than Tongues,
mm-hmm.
which is why it seems like it's stupid.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I know a higher level spell, but I can't do it. I can't do what a lower level spell does.
Magic is weird, man.
Magic is weird. Does anybody else have comprehend languages?
Absolutely not.
Does tongues allow you to speak in other languages or just hear?
I think it's converse.
You speak. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. It can choose
a creature and speak any language that creature understands, even if the target doesn't know what the language is. So yes, it allows you to hear and speak, but I don't think it allows you to read, which is a fun distinction.
Yeah.
Well,
this feels like a riddle, short right? Episode. Like whether we read the text or not, it's like how
wait a
do
minute,
we,
I have an idea.
I feel like I'm at Disney World and some cast member is going to be in charge of saying whether I can pull the sword out or not. You know,
well, am I the cast member? I'm casting enlarge on Sharga. We're gonna get this thing out of there.
Ooh,
yeah.
Get this stupid sword out of this rock.
Oh man!
And if that doesn't work, I'm casting stone shape.
We're breaking the tower off. We're breaking it down. Yeah, yeah. So you embiggening Sharga? Do you guys want to try to help, like pull on her caboose to try?
Hold on. Can I or someone pray to the octopus god thing that we saw in the tower and feign that we are followers of the whatever protector of the tower it is?
The tower is not Norgor Bright. The tower is indeed of an older kind of profane god. The pirate that attacked the tower and who owned the sword was Norgor Bright.
Okay. Can someone deceptively pray to said god and attempt
to... That's the only way that he likes to be prayed to.
Father Skinsaw, also known as the Grey Master or Black Fingers, is indeed an evil god of greed, murder, poison, secrets. It's a pretty good pirate god if you're an evil folk.
Patrick, would you say that the sword might be involved in some sort of curse? Is there a curse associated?
There is not. It's actually it's a pretty positive sword
a positive sword.
It probably solved an accursed situation in what it did here.
I see.
Okay. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm gonna help Sharga lift this thing out of here. I'm gonna grab one of the.
Are we not attending the praying?
I mean, you're right ahead.
Cassius
will happily give you thoughts and prayers via the
thoughts and prayers as I grab onto your waist and yank.
Make a D20 roll, Shark. They just want you to pull
D20?
It. Yeah,
just a flat D20. Why not? I mean, you're looking for a 20.
Nope. Can I re-roll that?
Yeah, I mean, you don't have to use your rerolls on this because we're not really under a time crunch, but...
Keep trying.
Yeah, each of these tries is like a good 30 seconds, and you're just like...
It's not happening.
Does Sharga come up with the idea that you had Rebecca, or is that just Rebecca?
No, I feel like Sharga would wonder, having been in company with, is it Ozzy's into gods and Bartleby's into gods? I don't know. Magic people
Ozzy's into gods. Bartleby's into god.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, and I don't know, Cassius has a god, I don't know, like, whatever, they all have gods.
For all we know, Cassius could be the child of Besmara. I could be very close to being the god.
I mean, look
at my notes, Tyler.
No, I feel like Sharga would think, like, surely one of you can at least pretend to be in favor with this god, like, to help us out.
Patrick, what would you like me to
roll? I'm not gonna pretend to be...
Oz, absolutely.
Of the god of lies.
Are you kidding me? So
my charm, zero.
Yes.
Charm 10.
If I filter through the charms and the religious symbols of the different gods that I have, is there any god that might be even within the the inner realm or allied with this profane god? Do I even recognize this profane god?
Oh yeah, I mean Norgalberite is. I mean, I think you've come across. Well, maybe not this character, but your pirate crew has come across Norgalberite in the Shackles before. They
when we needed to give them like secrets.
Yes,
in exchange for things.
You know, one of their practices is they wear masks during their. Usually their interactions when they're representing the faith in particular, usually like a mask with like one eye blacked out or like half the mask is like devil and the other half is like sinner or whatever.
Well,
do you have any masks on you?
Oz literally wears a mask at all times these days.
Like a physical mask?
Yes, yeah. Correct.
Oh, well, there you go.
He is wearing, in fact, a psychopomp mask.
Oh, I know what that is. Don't listen to the sound of my keyboard. It's like Google things.
And he could easily just shroud a part of his face, cover one of the eyes of the mask.
Now, would not be difficult. And you're attempting to portray yourself as a follower of Norgorber?
Sure.
Norgalberite. What kind of skill do you think might apply to doing that?
Probably deception.
Is that a good one for you?
Oh, of course it is.
Oh, all right. Well, go right ahead.
But Patrick, we don't get a lot of opportunities for him to use it. It's pretty much just combat. So how about that? How's a 42 sound?
Oh, okay.
Natural 20. What day? Yeah, we don't have anyone else with deception, so it's so good that Azuzrik's here. What do you got, Seth? Performance wise, do you say or do something while you're lifting this sword mightily from the stone? That is a full success.
So, though he has managed to largely purge his blood of the curse that plagued him for most of his life. He does retain some of the secrets, and he has maintained his capacity to be extremely creepy at times. And I would say that his eyes have rolled up to the point where only the whites are showing, and he begins to speak in a forgotten tongue, trying to invoke motions of ancient rituals, none specific. But he utilizes an urgency and a genuine attempt at a genuine display to try and fool the god that he is deserving of this item.
I think maybe Oz got little bits and pieces of, you know, what Captain Ager was going through, breaking her way into this tower and writing out these messages along the path for perhaps other Norgalberites to follow in her footsteps. And yeah, you get a sense of perhaps what is needed to go down that path, to follow this evil god.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it is easier than a hot knife through butter. Like, it doesn't even feel like it's contacting the stone here, but as you lift the sword out of the water very gingerly, I mean, it's definitely a magical blade. It feels a lot lighter than it should be for its heft. It has a very large pommel, a large cross guard, and what looks like a gem shaped kind of like an eye in the hilt. But I mean, for all intents and purposes, it looks like a fairly normal long sword. I'm not sure what it is besides that, but as you
probably looks out, more like a probably looks more like a long sword in Oz's hands.
Is it definitely? It's very long in your hands. As you lift it out, there is a large burst of energy that splashes water from the pool out in just about all directions here, and maybe like a Christopher Nolan trailer kind of sound effect, just like a
whom.
Wow, 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 wow. Yeah, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, then it's yours. It's in your hands. Just maybe maybe resonant with a little bit of power, a little bit of energy, and I think because you've rolled so well before, now that you have this thing in your hands, you'll be able to tell basically what exactly it do, besides being like a plus two, a very good magical sword, whatever the equivalent in Pathfinder 2E is. But Aiger's Kiss. Oh, you know what it looks like? I think it closest looks like, you can Google this now if you want as well. Aiger Pashari's Kiss. It kind of looks like the Sword of Omens from Thundercats.
Oh, it got my goodness.
The eye right there. And the anyway, what
it does,
this...
It does look a little bit like that, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It is a minor artifact in Pathfinder First Edition, but indeed this sword is a short sword. So it was a short sword. Maybe it grows into a long sword, like the Sword of Omens. A short sword of the plains, and it can be used a few times per day to cast Dimensional Anchor, or I think the equivalent in Pathfinder Second Edition is something similar to that, to, like, you know, destroy an extra planar being or attack a portal, seal a planar rift. Indeed, once per year, it can be plunged into an extra planar portal to destroy it, basically. And as you're pulling it out of this pool, you realize that's probably what it was used for. And the reason why maybe Captain Aiger left it here, because while the Shrouded Queen lived, that was the only thing stopping her, like, from leaving this tower.
I see.
Oh, God.
Escaping back through her portal, or bringing minions forth from whatever dimension they were crawling out of.
So I don't know how people are reacting to Oz making this display just in general, but once he's finished and the sword is in his hand, he just looks at it briefly and he looks over at Cassius and turns it over so he's holding the blade and just kind of hands it handle first over towards him.
I was really hoping,
Captain.
Hoping you just threw it over your shoulder, like, here you go, got it.
No,
Cassius looks at it very suspiciously since he had previously tried to pull it out, but couldn't. So I was a little taken aback, and he maybe takes it very trepidatiously. Yes, well done. That's weird things coming out of portals and stuff, and that's your nature. So glad we brought you.
You're the weird portal guy.
You just have to act like you're sincere sometimes.
Do we think it's safe now to gather the treasure and get out of this terrible place?
Do I think it's safe for us to gather the treasure and get out?
Yes, all questions please have addressed to Ozzy at the time. I'll be over here making sure the sword isn't going to hurt anybody. Cassius proceeds to have googly eyes over the sword.
You need more treasure? I just gave you like a magical artifact. What else do you need from me?
Why are exactly we down here? Three where other a sword. Treasures. Surely there are more.
It's here for the sword.
Yeah, I mean that's really what you came here for. There's not Melch Elsh in this chamber.
Yeah,
I guess I should double check. Hold on. Oh no, there is. Okay, that's probably a good thing that you asked, Rebecca. strewn throughout the chamber of the Shrouded Queen lies her most valuable items, though maybe overlooked if you do not know what you're looking for. But
this new sports Rebecca is like watching her team and is used to asking, is that it?
Where's the win?
Where's the treasure?
There is a set of tiny but very elaborately carved statuary showing horrific deep sea creatures, all carved from whale bones and coral, worth, I'm going to say, 1,000 gold pieces, this full collection. But this is something like, I mean, Scrimshaw Jack really should have been here. These are so cool.
Should have brought them.
There are 10 large clay amphoras filled with pearls, gold, and silver ingots, a total of 4,000 gold pieces.
Oh, my.
There's a crystalline... I didn't write this down in my notes, though. Really, all this treasure should be Rebecca's. a crystalline case containing 6 ampules filled with blood samples of ancient Aslanti kings, worth 1,500 gold pieces. And oh, the Shrouded Queen had, as you're looking over the corpse, I mean, it's like sunk into the skin in parts, as it looks like it has kind of grown and protruded around a very large golden tiara, several hundred gold pieces worth of diamonds etched into it in an eldritch work of art worth many, many thousand gold pieces. Let's do some math here.
Thank you, Rebecca.
Sharga puts the tiara on her head.
Patrick just was fully ready. Patrick was fully ready to be like, "You got a sword? Get out!
Get out! What else do you want? I ran this adventure for you, and all you ask is for more, more, more. You're greedy, and you know it. Leave my tower." It's rude. This, I will say, already knowing that we have about 2,000 gold pieces, well, over 2,000 gold pieces each, it just reminds me that this is 10 times the amount of money I've received in an entire Starfinder 6 book AP. So,
yeah, and, it's messed up. Simple drop.
I know I keep coming back to this, listeners, and you're probably like, oh my God, is he banging on about the Starfinder currency system again? And I'm like, yeah.
It's not just that. In this campaign, we are earning our money and still not making any money. Like, it's like we're working
minimum wage. And it's rough. We did like a month of downtime, and I think Miles made 20 credits. So that's
nice of a tabletop game to remind you of the real world.
Yep.
Yeah. you're in a prison of your own design. However many points you put in profession, so and so.
What stage capitalism is Starfinder?
Yeah, apparently post scarcity, but actually mostly scarcity.
It's post scarcity, but just like the top like quarter of a percent keep it all.
It's not just how many ranks do you have in the profession, because I am a trained dancer, okay? But I still don't make my maximum every month, right? It's like, well, it's still open to, I don't know what the variable is. What is the variable? I'm clearly not salaried. It's very much a, I don't know what it, I don't, yeah.
I don't know. But while I'm not maybe 100% sure.
Poorly some days and well other days. I don't know.
I don't think trained dancers in real life are ever lacking in money, so. I agree that it's kind of reality breaking.
The tiara is the most expensive thing outside of the sword here, and it is worth, just wrote it down, 3,500 gold pieces. Mostly the diamonds, but also as a complete piece. It is an ancient artifact of a crown that definitely wasn't this Shrouded Queen's to begin with, but was probably some ancient impress of a long dead empire. So worth a good amount here. The sword, maybe more than valuable as what it is probably also worth, you know, thousands of gold pieces. But that is what you see and find here as you're looking around and collecting all this loot, trying to find a way to get it back upstairs and then outside. The water in the pool this entire time has been draining through this tiny hole that the sword made in the bottom of the stone. Where this goes, you do not know, but as you're getting ready to leave with all your many thousands in gold and in blood samples, Suzrik, you hear just unintelligible, unfathomable whispers come pouring out of said hole. Just he's
You sound like Adam Sandler trying to make scary noises.
I have to stage whisper for it to be picked up by like my microphone, our recording. Yeah. So I can't whisper cool in podcasts. I have to be like, just imagine that as a whisper.
This lame whisper brought to you by.
Thank you for including some Beatles in there. Okay. I would like to attempt to perceive this.
I don't know. I don't think this be a language you understand, but probably indeed not. There seems to be some kind of lingering effects of ancient Clipothian abyssal.
So I know Aklo and Infernal.
I
know Draconic.
Aklo might be the closest, indeed.
It's, like, do they share any
base language?
Yeah. Patrick, does it help if I know Common?
It's the lingua franca. It's fine.
The language Common. Oh boy, it's one of those outside of the bounds of this adventure, of course, kind of things. Whatever,
sure.
Whatever happened here long ago and was sealed away recently, maybe is not sealed away forever because of your taking of said sword.
Oh, right.
I think Oz will narrow his eyes a little bit and he'll look over at the captain and say, Captain, yes. Just so you're aware, taking the sword may unleash a ancient eldritch abomination upon the land. Just so you're like aware.
Tomorrow or...
I mean, you guys can... This is free real estate, you know? So all you have to do is probably disclose that to whoever you sell this Black Tower to, and it's their problem.
Fair point.
I don't know. Maybe we could cram some tack in the hole.
That's good. We really only need the sword long enough to, you know, fix the entire shackles. And then we could bring it back and put it back where we got it. That would be... That would probably solve all of the problems. So as long as bad world-ending things doesn't happen while we're doing that, then I'm not too worried.
Okay.
That'll be for the mythic campaign we start after the podcast is over.
Yeah. Wait, do we need this sword for something?
Of course we do, Sharga. This sword? Are you implying that this sword would not be of utmost importance to us defending the shackles? Sharga.
We've got a... Excuse me, Captain. We have a lot of other treasure here. Do we really have to take the sword as well?
The sword is quite impressive in its capabilities, Sharga.
Yes, his swords are not always...
Sharga, have you seen my tiara?
Is that yours?
It's beautiful. It's and I'm very glad. Very, very glad we found it.
I think the tiara is worth more in gold, but probably not the same status that having this nearly mythical at this point sword that belonged to this very well regarded, if not liked, pirate captain.
If it is plugging a hellhole, then I feel like we should leave it there, right?
Not 9 out of 10 swords plug hellholes, so like really, you're gonna have to unplug some to swing some cool swords around.
We'll bring it back.
Okay. Patrick is like arguing in favor of the bad thing.
He's like, definitely take the sword.
Take the sword.
I want to see a level 23 clip off is like.
Yeah, right. It's like playing a video game and then learning that you just straight up missed an entire side quest adventure that sounds like it was the coolest one in the entire game. And you're like, well, I didn't get the full experience.
Well, yeah, there's not a level 23. There's a level 18 clip off that we can probably increase in size. But
well, we're almost level 18, right?
Close enough, right? Right. So. Yeah, that whispers in the dark as you leave this chamber. I mean, if you want, you can also just seal it back up. You know, the chains are still up top. You can drive in to close off this room.
At the very least, we should do that.
Okay. You know, just you don't want some kids climbing the 200-foot tower and then getting all the way down here past the death traps and stumbling across this hellhole. Yeah. I mean, you gotta be a concerned neighbor and cap that manhole up.
To be fair, most things I don't think are making it past all that fungus, so I feel pretty confident.
Yeah, I'm actually surprised you guys all live. There's some rough stuff going on here. Rough stuff.
Yeah, you know what? If children get past all that fungus, they deserve to uncover
open a demon portal.
The death whispers. Yeah,
to be eaten by Calippos.
Well, you know, as we went through this dungeon, there were, or tower, there were warning signs along the way, clearly left by those before us. What warning signs might we leave for others as we exit? Well,
in common, probably.
Captain Ager wrote in her blood on the wall, so,
yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
You guys got a lot of blood
right
on
in you. Her blood on the wall, looted, don't bother.
Well, she's been dead for like,
and signed Cassius.
She's been dead for like 30, 40 years. Oh,
okay,
or so,
well
so.
Then I'll grind her bones into a white paste.
Just take some. Just take some water. It's like a palette.
Yeah,
you just wet it a little bit.
I mean, you've got rags you could just like wring out. I think of your own blood. Mm-hmm. That you can don't dead
wanna,
open inside.
I want to point out that I think Oz is sitting at like 17 hit points right now.
Classic Oz.
Yeah,
13. Like I said, you guys, I mean, didn't have much in the way of a time requirement, so you could spend some time at least making some medicine checks before we continue on. But definitely stop the bleeding condition. Definitely. Get back majority of your hit points. Are you ready to get back to our good friends Jack Scrimshaw and Owlbear Hartshorn, who've been bottom of this tower for a few hours by themselves in the jungle?
So ready. Sharga runs up and gives Jack a big hug.
Well, I think you mean you fly down, right?
Yeah.
Flying down.
Flies down. I give him
a little high five. A little high five.
Well, as you guys go through the canopy back down the tower to the floor here, it's not just Jack and Owlbear. There's about a dozen pirates standing around.
All our friends.
The most lavishly dressed and oddest looking one is a wiry elf gentleman who steps forward. He's got a huge kind of falchion and elven blade on his hip, and he says,
"Doesn't sound like one of those."
"Hello, Captain Cassius, I presume. Welcome to our little soiree, our little game we shall have of wheels and deals."
as he speaks, you see this gentleman has a full set of filed teeth, giving him a shark smile.
Chainsaw Man, look out.
Says, "Oh, I'm glad you could have joined us. Forgive me, I would be worried about who you are and what you're doing here, but I don't even know your name, and you already know mine, so I assume this is going to be entertaining at least."
He's got a point.
"I guarantee you know my name, for you hold the blade of my mother in your hand."
It doesn't mean that we know what your name is.
But you don't know what the sword you came here to collect? you fools.
You share a name with the sword?
"Foolish fools, I bear the name Aeger, for I am Valorand Aeger. You probably have heard of me as the Barracuda."
The sword is called Valorand's Mommy's Sword.
"That's what I shall call it. I'm the captain of the Wanton Wastrel. And indeed, son of none other than Captain Devonita Aeger,
whose sword forgive me if I liberated. Didn't immediately recognize you. We only have ever heard about you from your mother's writings, and you were always just called a disappointment in those. So, I didn't quite put the two and two together."
"You have writings of my mother? I would care to see them."
"Nah, I took them from her bedchamber easily."
"Oh. Well, oh my gosh, she was dead long before you were out of pampers, so I don't believe you."
"I didn't say she was in the bedchamber, mate. You're jumping forward a little more than I'm actually providing there. So.
You're as disgusting as the tales tell of you, Captain Cassius. Me and my men have just been down here for the last hour or so conversing with your compatriots and cavorting with the native fauna. We've had our sport of killing these things that look like... well, they look like inside-out guts."
Yes, those.
"Captain Cassius, perhaps you and I could have a word in private."
Like, do we see Scrimshaw or...
Yeah, they're just hanging out. Maybe their backs kind of to the tower. And it does look like some of these pirates have taken some damage. There's, like, blood and ripped clothing on some of them.
But... Jack and Owlbear look okay?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're good to go.
Uh-huh.
Sure, I'll talk to the psycho teeth filer 1v1.
Sure.
Sounds yeah. like I'm making great life decisions.
Just captain the captain. Yeah, so...
Yeah, typical Cassius behavior.
You guys can like get to a small clearing where everyone can still see you, but you can talk in terms where folks can't hear. And he comes over and kind of like cracks his neck a little bit. It's like, ah, sorry, using that voice gets really flimmy after a while. And I wanted to have a heart to heart with you, good sir.
Right. I figured as much. So.
Oh, is that your real voice? Oh, goodness gracious. That's
yeah. Sorry to disappoint you, but the theatrics are pretty much always on with me. So. Please bear with
me. Well, Captain Cassius, I've been waiting for my chance for several seasons to try and strike it big. Some on the crew here said I should have taken a run at you while you were disposed in the tower. Take the sword for myself. Take over your ship and your crew and sail off with all the spoils that you've accumulated, good sir. I do have three ships waiting out in the beyond in the sea on the along the shoreline here, and well, I would have done such a thing, save for a little fact that, well, you've gotten very popular in the days of the last few seasons, what winning the regatta and becoming a pirate lord and what have you. So there are folks that I hold in high esteem that hold you in high esteem, and I feel like killing you, stealing your boat, might put a little bit of a target on my back. So that comes to the point of the business here I would like to discuss with you, and that is the sword. The sword that you have liberated from this very tall tower that I'm excited to say I don't have to climb now. The sword is worth, as you well may know, more than just the metal and the runes that make it up. It is a symbol. Folks are going to be telling stories of my mother's deeds for generations, and whoever's holding that sword is going to eat out on those stories for years. I mean, I can say that's not the only reason that I would like it, but I would also say it's a desire for sentimentality's sake. I remember my mother would hold me on her lap and the sword right alongside her, and I would, she would also put it in my crib every once in a while from what the people tell me, but I don't recall that. Anyway, I would like to make a deal. Like I said, I have three ship holds worth of treasure, thousands in gold, once you trade it in, of course, and I would love to make a deal right here, right now, for Ager's Kiss. You get a payday, I get the sword. Nary a drop of blood has to be spilled from either of our crews. How does that sound, good captain?
Well, if I'm being fully honest with you there, Barracuda, it doesn't sound like an offer. It sounds more like you're telling me how this is going to happen.
No, I have to put on a show for my crew. You understand. They've come to expect a great deal from the Barracuda. But just you and me, Captain Iger to Captain Cassius, I can tell you, I very much would like the sword. And I understand that the reason that you've come here might not be for monetary gain. You're looking for all kinds of thing to bolster your accord amongst the pirate lords of the Shackles. There's word that you're building a fleet to take on Barnabas Harrigan. Is that correct, good sir?
Yes, your information does you well.
That man has been gathering ships and squibbing them for years, and let's just say you have your work cut out for you. Perhaps the Barracuda's ships could help to stave off the Wormwoods knocking at your door. I would love to form an alliance with you and your crew. Perhaps once this fiend is met, you've used the sword to its limit. We can make a deal for it then. It would be a magnanimous gesture if you were to ally yourself with the only living scion of the great Captain Ager, and then in a show of camaraderie, after we beat back the barbarians that want to take your isle from you, you were to bequeath said sword to me. But like I said, I am perfectly fine providing you with funds as well. I understand that you have to pay a tax to the the pirate lord of Alo for this claim here on the tower.
Aye, that's true, but that's fine. You are as shrewd of a captain as you are of a businessman, it appears. If your ships are willing to sail with ours against the fight of Harrigan, I will take them. In return, the sword will be yours.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. I will make the appropriate announcements amongst my crew. Perhaps for now you would allow me to hold the blade and bandy it about, you know, drum up.
Of course, of course.
Yes. All right, back to the Barracuda's voice. One moment. Thank you, Captain Cassius. It shall be a fine day when we sail upon the barber of Port Peril himself's fleet. Men, we've made a deal for the sword. There's cheering amongst his pirate crew here. It's like, he says, we shall make a way for this day and meet you up on the Isle of Empty Eyes within the fortnight, good sir. Thank you so much, Captain.
We got a Fortnite crossover? Dang.
You're all getting skins, baby.
Surprise.
I'm sure it already has happened.
But Oz is going to hit the gritty.
Once again, the pickaxe is an anchor. I'm sure there's already an anchor on some pirate skin. Alrighty, so hey, that's the Black Tower wrapped up in a nice little bow. What part is this? There is, if your reputation, your disrepute is not high enough, indeed Captain Edgar just attacks you. He's like, give me that sword. I want that sword.
It's mine. It's my mommy's.
My mommy's knife.
How dare you go into the tower that I was too afraid to go into and take it? Oh.
Yeah, if your infamy score is 40 or lower, and I think you're at 50. He
very infamous.
Nice.
Attacks and boards your ship, hangs back and waits for you to emerge from the Black Tower to do so.
That's rude. Can you imagine being like doing that whole Shrouded Queen boss fight and then being like, oh, let's just get out of here immediately. And just walking straight into another massive fight.
Oh my gosh. He takes your ship while you're on the tower, lowers your flag, and flies his own, a barracuda on a blue field from atop the tower. Yeah. But as you can tell, there's a good deal of bluster behind this character, at least. And I don't know why they describe him as having rows of sharp teeth, and they don't. I didn't even show you guys the art for this character because they don't have him smiling so he can show off the cool teeth.
Oh, what?
What a waste.
What a waste indeed. Come on. Pathfinder adventure path artists 10 years ago. Come on. Anyway, you can Google Captain Iger if you want to see the art. All right. So are you guys ready to head back to the Isle of Empty Eyes? This crew or some of this crew has already gotten a great deal of fleet support from Hell Harbor, and now you potentially have secured a great deal more from Captain Barracuda Iger.
Yeah,
you think that's going to be enough with what Captain Del Caron was able to drum up?
I think we need a little bit more.
I think there's rules for just buying more ships. Just buying.
Let's do it. Let's just buy a few more
NPCs. But let's get back to the Isle of Empty Eyes. It is a bit of a long journey back, a few days sailing to the north to get back there. But indeed, you're all emboldened with the knowledge that you've taken on this Black Tower. You've taken on your tasks in Hell Harbor and you've already heard from Alaris and Honto and the others that they did well in the on Greenblood. You're not sure how they've fared in Dagon's Gullet, but your guys' ships once more, Captain Del Caron, Captain Cassius, meet up at the Isle of Empty Eyes, the Bay of No Hospitality, and already there's a small fleet gathering here. You see the upside down chelish flag of Captain Pirate Lord Aranax Endymion. The ships of Meryl Pegsworthy's armada. The Bonaventure and his company has already arrived, and we'll greet you when you get off your vessel for first time in a little bit. Your crew getting some rest back at your home isle. Yeah, this is the first time all of your crews have kind of been together in a month or so. You guys can throw a feast at Fart Olivier and meet up, discuss your goings-ons. I imagine, Rebecca, that Alaris has a lot of good news to hand over.
Yes.
I guess mixed news, at least. Some good, some bad.
We had some trouble, but we made it in the end.
The guy that you were going to find in Dagon's Gullet has been dead for some time.
Yeah.
was murdered way before he got there, so really nothing you could do about it.
Very unfortunate.
We got our ship
at least
back,
bring
though.
Back his undead body.
Ooh, I don't think he did.
Did we? I can't remember.
It's you didn't so bring back the undead body?
I think Elise Grogblood gave him a burial in the sandy shores of the Big Jaw.
So the option to speak with dead is fully out the window. I understand.
I mean, you know where it's located. You go back and dig her up. And who can speak with dead in this crew?
I'm sure Bartleby.
Almost maybe.
Might be able to deceive it into talking.
Would a cleric of Pharasma be more inclined to be able to speak with them, or definitely not wanting to speak
with them? I think that, you know, communing with the dead is something that's, you know, completely permissible.
I mean, looking back at my notes, I do have written down that we have paperwork. We have a paper trail indicating that Harrigan has a secret island fortress and is building an army.
Oh, yeah. That's good stuff.
A big army.
You know, I've got documentation. Does that mean nothing?
Are you wanting to go into, like, pirate court and be like, objection, Barnabas army. Not okay. Please say no, remove.
The small township outside of Fart Olivier grows, had a few hundred people in it before, but with the ships that are already here, that number has almost doubled, and it will continue to grow as in the next few weeks some more crews show up at the Isle of Empty Eyes. You see the familiar jib of the Risen Albatross show up next, indeed Stella Fane on its bow, and as she enters the Bay of No Hospitality, she's ringing the ship's bell along with four other, you know, kind of smaller sailing ships. There is an albatross, not a huge galley or anything. But yeah, she meets you all, open arms, relays to Honto and the rest of you how things are going in Greenblood, and has come with the aid of pathfinders and other captains that do work for lodges in the region to help defend the Isle of Empty Eyes against Harrigan's fleet. Next up, another very friendly face, and one you've not seen in some time, perhaps heeding the call for pirate crews to come to the Tidebreaker's banner. A face you've not seen since the Free Captain's Regatta, I believe. Captain Pierce Jarrell of the Salty Flagon shows up, flanked.
Flanked by boy is back. He has returned.
He's flanked by two other galleys, along with the Salty Flagon. And indeed, when he sees you, Alaris is like, "Ah, 'tis good to see you, me lass. You're a sight for a sore eye. You've done well. I hear you're captain of your own ship."
Well, indeed. Welcome to the Spider Silk. She tries to be very cool. Insane.
Let's line them up next to each other and see which one is bigger. I don't know why that is.
Size doesn't matter, Pierce.
Well, also, yeah. Like, isn't the flagon like a sloop?
Nope. I think so, yeah.
Don't remember.
But I remember the flagon being a sloop for some reason.
Well, it's bigger now.
Oh, it's a frigate.
It's a small ship.
A sloop is very small.
A sloop is a very small ship.
Yeah, it had to be at least somewhat larger, I think, to survive some of the regatta. Did it survive? I forget if it crossed over. Anyway.
With John Edwards?
Oh, no. The Salty Flagon. Did it sink? Galley? I forget.
Oh, it, yeah. I think
it might got messed up in the turn.
The turtle?
Anyway, that was two buckets ago. I'm not remembering. I'm not remembering any of that.
Listeners, help us out.
No, I think your ship turned and like they came by and stopped and helped you. That's what happened.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they came and helped us. Yeah.
Yeah, but no, he's not just with his own ship. He's got a couple more galleys here that he's convinced to come and sail under his flag for the Isle for the Tidebreakers fleet. And last but not least is indeed Elise Grogblood shows up with four galleys that look like they have been very hastily repaired over the last few weeks, and perhaps some very green looking crews, very young looking pirates, very young looking like pirates.
We have an Aruxi crew.
Yeah, they're all green goblin crew. No, they're all very young. I guess the term in pirates would be wet behind the ears or very old. There's Rummer Butt is, of course, amongst them. He's captaining one of the ships. I've got names for all of these. What's a good name for his ship? Yeah, I think he's piling in Rockram's Rot. Yeah.
The Rusty Rudder. Oh, Rockram's Rot, yeah.
For his dead friend. Right, indeed. And after that, the Barracuda, true to his word, does show up with his two vessels as well. And we'll make a big show of stepping on land. And I mean, by this time, there's like 800 people on the island once all these ships have arrived. And
what about Elise Grogblood? Does she have a ship? Because she came back with us.
No, she came back with the repaired galleys that you found mostly destroyed in Dagon's gullet.
Okay, with Rummer Butt or whatever his name was.
Yes,
okay.
And very hastily put together crews and repairs. They need more repairs now that they've sailed them here to the island. So.
Okay, because she was badass. I want her on my side. So.
I know. You are correct. I am badass, Rebecca.
Yeah, when Patrick rolled 320s with his own character, that was cool. That helped us out a lot.
Is that what it feels like? It feels so good to be a good guy every once in a while.
Just slaying monsters.
Yeah, Pegsworthy says that you all have managed to form quite a fleet here, looking out on the sea of vessels. I think it's, how many galleys is this? 10 galleys. There's like four warships and five sailing ships. So it's like 19 tall ships, you know, out in the Bay of No Hospitality. But yeah, you've managed to form quite a fleet here, Captain Cassius, and that's good. But the forces arrayed against you, there are some that say the sails of Harrigan now blot out the sun to the west. I don't know what you all did to piss off Harrigan, but he seems ready to throw everything against you.
Well, Harrigan has, I'm almost positive he has numbers, but he's also not the type of man who inspires great loyalty, only great fear. If we can make them more afraid of us than him, we won't have a problem.
Well, and you have a home field advantage here. Fortunately, we don't know where he's located, but we know he's going to be coming for you and coming for this isle. So while we can, we should make ready for war and perhaps draw up some battle plans.
Plan number one, cast invisibility on the island. Plan number two, watch them sail past the island.
Once all the ships indeed arrive, there's a massive festival of drunken debauchery. I mean, basically, whenever you get a city full of pirates, it is the Pirates of the Caribbean ride, you know, like people are in barrels, like drinking out, and they're trying to get out of jail by bribing a dog, trying to make friends with a dog. They're like, I need to roll a survival check to make friends with this dog. Johnny Depp just popping up in the background now that he's very popular in those movies. Anyway, a lot of debauchery as the pirate crews come together and the captains all can meet together of these ships and start drawing up battle plans. As indeed, far away on the shackled seas, other sails are being unfurled, other lines rigged taut, and cannons made ready outside of a far off island somewhere, as there are hands moving against you all and getting ready to make sail, set sail for an epic naval battle adventure. But all that is a tale for another time here on Dead Men Roll No Crits. An epic naval battle time. Next time. That is gonna do it for this week's episode.
Quite a fleet.
I was hoping we can get into a little bit of what to expect next week, but probably best that we dive into it at the beginning of next week's episode. Updated, not too different, mass naval combat next week.
Oh dear.
I actually prefer it a lot over the like one-on-one ship combat, which is, you know, fine. It is not as complicated as Starfinder Starship combat, not by half, but I've seen a lot of mass combat rules in Paizo games over the years, and this one's pretty easy, I guess, comparatively.
Well, that's good.
It does remind me a lot of like Horatio Hornblower kind of stuff. Basically, just these big old squadrons of ships are gonna do battle, and if things go poorly for your side, people might mutiny and might just like leave the battlefield. I don't know how,
the pirate way.
I don't know how much you can depend on this Barracuda gentleman, but that might be a good example. Guys, thank you so much for playing with me this week.
Thank you, Patrick.
Thank you, Patrick.
Yeah.
Oh, listeners, thanks for listening. Thank you for sticking around through our Starfinder 2E playthroughs that we've had over this last month. We are back to Pathfinder Adventures from here until we play some other game. So that's going to do it for us. Thank you so much, and we'll catch you on the next episode of Dead Men Roll No Crits.
Yar.
Bye-bye.
Yar.
Yar. Yar.